call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
Whip, were you on Fine Bomb yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was.
I missed it. Alan in Tampa was watching, and he called last hour, and he said you were on. Now, you were talking about Billy Napier. What were you saying to Fine Bomb about Napier and Spurrier?
I was saying they've got one of the greatest resources in college football in their backyard, and they're crazy for not using him more. I'm not sure why he's not the Florida head coach, if you want to know the truth. Think about it. You know, you got a light bulb factory, and you got Thomas Edison living next door, and you don't employ him. I mean, it's crazy when you think about how qualified Steve Spurrier is to be doing more than, you know, just golfing here and there. If I'm Billy Napier, I'm doing everything I can to get Steve Spurrier involved.
Is he not?
Well, I would say he probably isn't. I would say it's the Nick Saban method. And, to me, I'm just, like I said, flabbergasted that you've got a resource that close that's not more heavily involved.
Now, you talk to Spurrier more than me, and I'm a huge Spurrier guy, obviously, but I don't know that he'd be interested in, would he want to spend his time doing that?
I don't know, Bill. It was a comment about a young, inexperienced coach from Louisiana.
Right.
That Florida hired, that's been anointed, and having a resource like Steve Spurrier, who's been retired a couple years. Last time he coached in some pro league, he won that too. I'm just saying, I think sometimes people overlook their resources. And, you know, people write off Steve Spurrier, you know, like he's done. And I think he's an unbelievable resource. I mean, he's clearly active in the community. He's got enough time to run a grill, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. My only point was, if I'm Florida, I would be making sure I'm doing everything to have Steve Spurrier involved, and I would be doing it visibly. I mean, ask Alabama fans what they would give to have 10 more years of Paul Bear Bryant after his death and how they would have taken advantage of that. I just think Steve Spurrier is tremendously overlooked.
Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation, joins us every Tuesday. Griff, once we get to the spring meetings, obviously down in Destin, and then the football media days in July, and the media is going to pick their teams, and Georgia is going to be the overwhelming favorite in the East, Alabama in the West. But after that, I know I've asked you about this, but do you think it's realistic that Tennessee be picked number two in the East?
Why not? They got the best returning quarterback in the league, and from a proficiency standpoint, you know, they've got a first-year coach that proved he could put up points on anybody. And, you know, you saw the improvement they made in year one through the portal after losing, what, 43 guys? And now you're going to give Tennessee a little bit of stability? So why wouldn't we have some confidence that Tennessee could have some upward mobility in the East? Kentucky's right there. They've got a projected first-round draft pick at quarterback. See, that's what's different about the East this year, outside of Georgia. You know, last year Georgia played a lot of first-year quarterbacks. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Georgia's historically good defense. I mean, they had five guys picked in the first round. But take a look at the quarterbacks they played against. They weren't real good. And when they played against a really good one, they got lit up pretty good in the SEC title game. Now, the national championship game was a different story, and some of that was the fact that Alabama was missing a receiver or two, and some of that was that Georgia changed the game plan up. I think those both were factors. But I don't think it's ridiculous to make the case that Tennessee, with Josh Heupel and Hendon Hooker back, could be a challenger, or Kentucky for that matter. And I'm not ready to bury Florida yet, even though I've got my questions about Billy Napier. I mean, Florida should have beat Alabama last year. Florida had Georgia, you know, 3-0 at the end of the first half before their meltdown. So, you know, I don't think any of those teams are too far out there. Now, Missouri missed JT Daniels in the portal. Eli Drinkwitz couldn't close the deal. I know for a fact that Daniels' family was interested. I know there was a chance JT was going to go there, and Missouri couldn't close the deal. For whatever reason, they weren't able to do it, and they ended up with some other quarterback I'd never heard of. So Missouri really missed out on a chance to make themselves a contender if they would have gotten JT Daniels. So, you know, don't feel sorry for Eli. He had it, and he blew it. You know, Vanderbilt doesn't care about football. We know that. You know, South Carolina is a little bit of a wild card, you know, with Spencer Rattler and feel-good Shane Beamer. I mean, who knows? Maybe they beat a team or two they're not supposed to. So I think the East battle is going to be intriguing.
You're a baseball softball guy. I know that. How hard will it be for Tennessee to maintain this all the way to Omaha?
Well, they've lost three out of their last six games, so I don't know that they're really maintaining anything right now. I mean, I think they got to get the engine fired back up. You saw Vitello do some different things with his pitching staff, starting Ben Joyce, and you know, maybe trying to rest some tired arms, you know, deal with some of the same attrition everybody else goes through. I mean, he was still trying to win games. I mean, the night before Georgia beat him, he said he wanted his team in playoff mode. I don't think they went out there and laid down when Georgia beat him 8-3. Georgia just played really good baseball. And Tennessee's got a big target. I mean, hey, when you're number one, and I think this is the best SEC baseball. I was talking to Glenn Gilbo. I know you've had him on a time or two. A buddy of mine down there in Louisiana that's covered LSU for a long time. And this is probably the best SEC baseball team since 1997 LSU. That's saying a mouthful. We're saying Tennessee baseball has the best SEC team in the regular season since 1990, in 25 years. Okay, that's how good Tennessee baseball is. They're 33-3 at home. They'll go 34-3 tonight, right? And they'll finish 34-3. I mean, that's amazing. It's a great environment. It's a fiery coach. But listen, Vitello knows now's not when you want to peak, okay? And I think you're going to see a different Tennessee team once regionals start. I don't know what they're going to do in Birmingham. You know, these tournaments, SEC baseball and SEC softball, really even SEC basketball, these committees are lazy or dumb or something because they don't really look at what you do in the tournaments that much. So coaches have figured out, why the hell do I want to spend 3 or 4 days there? I mean, why do I want to burn my kids out in a league tournament that's completely meaningless? If you want it to mean something, then it needs to factor into the seedings. And it doesn't. We've seen it time and time again where it doesn't matter. So either the NCAA needs to respond to how these teams play in the tournaments, or these coaches that are sandbagging, that aren't putting their best out, and I don't blame them. Think about it. That's not the big prize. It really isn't. I mean, what really matters is how you do. Do you really want to spend 3 or 4 days in a conference tournament and then turn around and have to go through the gauntlet to reach the World Series? No, of course you don't. You don't want to burn your pitching. You don't want to burn your players. And it's unfortunate. Now, if there was seeding on the line, then yeah. So I don't know if Tennessee baseball, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say they don't want to win, but if you've got some tired arms, and the goal is to win the College World Series, how important is the SEC baseball tournament? So a lot to think about there, but I think once regional play starts, I think you'll see the Vols back in full swing, and I would take them over the field to win the College World Series.
Mississippi State, I think, Griff, went 2-out last year in the SEC tournament and won everything.
Right. To your point, right? This year they won't even make it. Are they even going to make the trying to think, was Mississippi State even going to make
it? As of right now, they wouldn't. As of today, they wouldn't. And they get Tennessee this next weekend.
Yeah, well, last year LSU shouldn't have either, and somebody on the committee felt sorry for their coach and put them in over Georgia. So you got a lot of that crap going on, too. There needs to be more transparency in these selection committees. We got a real problem. You know, what somebody was the department head somewhere for 25 years, and they put them on a committee, and they do something stupid like that. I've seen it over and over in the women's softball tournaments and some of the worst seeding you'll ever see. This will be a cute matchup. Yeah, but that team doesn't deserve to be there. You know, how about we just seed it based on merit? You know, that's part of my issue with some of these committees. What is it? What is it? How do you qualify to be on a committee? Who are these people? What makes them experts? They might know more about your rose bush than they do the sport.
Mike Griffith from the AJC's Dog Nation joins us. You still feel pretty good about Georgia's chances with Arch Manning?
Not as good. The longer it goes, the more you wonder. And I've heard LSU is Brian Kelly and LSU now. You know, it was just a matter of time. You know, I mean, he's from New Orleans, and Brian Kelly, there's a reason why this guy's a winner. I know the people in the South make fun of him, but I'm telling you, what he did at Grand Valley State, what he did at Cincinnati, what he did at Notre Dame, this guy's a winner. I don't know if he's going to do it at LSU. I'll tell you what, getting Arch Manning would go a long way toward that, right? I mean, this is a big prize, and he's an in-state kid for LSU. So I think the longer it goes, the more I wonder. I don't necessarily think Georgia doesn't get him. I'm not saying I don't think it'll happen, but if you're asking me if I'm as confident as I was a week ago, no, I'm not. Now, June, the first weekend in June is coming up, and I think Arch is supposed to be here. And, you know, Kirby is the best recruiter in the country. I think the ratings and the NFL players produced show that. So I think Georgia is still the favorite, but the longer it goes, the more I wonder.
You still think Texas has a shot?
Yeah, they got a shot, and they got all the money in the world. Why don't they? They got a guy with a Lamborghini NIL deal. You know, they got money. Money talks, right? You know, if Arch Manning went to Texas, he'd be an instant legend. You know, I don't, he's still got to go out on the field and win games, but Steve Sarkisian's a great football coach, and he's an attractive coordinator to play for, and that's a big decision. That's a big part of the decision is the relationship that the quarterback has and the level of buy-in into the offense, and you know, Sark's offensive has done, but you know what? Todd Monken's done some pretty good things at Georgia, too. I mean, JT Daniels was the leading returning passer going into last year before his injury. You know, he threw 400 yards in his debut in that Monken offense. I don't think Arch would be running the same offense Stetson Bennett is, which is this, you know, play-action shot play deal. I think you'd see more of the multi-receiver air raid principles that you saw with JT. So everybody's got a little something to offer. In the end, I mean, this is going to be a Manning brand decision, and it could go a lot of different ways.
Griff, have a fantastic week, sir. We'll see you next Tuesday.
You too, Bill. Thank you.
Tom in Myrtle Beach. Bill, I agree with Griff. Florida should just give Steve a job. Woody Hayes